We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
That team that used to be in Houston is coming back to play the Texans this week. We're going to talk about all that and more on this edition of The Bullpen. And welcome to The Bullpen. As always, I am James Roy, and with me is Tom Chavarria. Tom, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. I mean, the Texans are coming off of a, you know, although not the sexiest win against the Dallas Cowboys, a win nonetheless. They maintain a two-game lead on Indy plus the tiebreaker, so it's really like a three-game lead. And now they get an opponent in Tennessee that I think they should also handle thoroughly and build on this division lead and look forward to bigger and better things down the road.
Yeah, I mean, as much as the Titans are just the Titans, you know how I feel about division rivalries and those games at any given Sunday. Being able to win this weekend, even the next week against the Jaguars, these are two big games in terms of setting up the playoff picture, laying the groundwork for clinching that playoff spot. And clinching the division, which is huge. And the AFC South is a division where you either clinch the division or you don't make the playoffs. That's how it was last year. That's how I anticipate it'll be this year. So it really excited to invite the Titans into our house just to punch them square in the face with our elite defense and offense that is trying. Let's get into it. The Texans offense has made some improvements. It's hard to say that and feel really good about it, but I think it's gotten better. I think that this is a team that is just a few tweaks away from being able to actually show what they're capable of. More consistent protection for CJ Stroud is going to be a huge plus for seeing him the way that we saw him his rookie season. Is there any particular part of the Titans defense that worries you going into this matchup? Anything that could throw a wrench in this offense's game plan?
No, not really. I look at teams like the Detroit Lions who are able to score at will. I really think that the Texans have similar pieces. I mean, you saw 2 weeks ago with Detroit and Houston playing a very, very good, tightly contested football game. They should be able to move the ball against Tennessee. I think this offense is really just stuck in second gear. They don't necessarily not score, which, you know, you see on some teams. They just don't do it in the manner in which you would. You feel like they should be able to hang 28 on every team they play with all the weapons they have, with the type of quarterback that they have. And if they score anything less than that, you feel like they really just kind of failed somewhere. So this is another instance where I think Tennessee, being where they are, seeing the yards and the points that they've given up throughout the season, you really feel like this offense should be able to get what they want in this game. And it'll just be interesting to see if we get the full complement of snaps from Nico Collins, you know, what kind of protection CJ Stroud's going to get. I definitely don't feel like there's a concern with the Titans that I feel like they should, you know, they should be worried about the Titans. I just think they have to take them seriously.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if some names come to mind, Jeffrey Simmons has always been one that's been someone, especially with the way the offensive line is played, will probably be a little bit of a challenge. L'Jarius Sneed was supposed to be really a big challenge coming over from the Chiefs, but has not quite shown that so far in his tenure with the Titans. The Titans, I don't want to say they were sellers at the trade deadline, but I think they did make some trades and make some moves. I think that their new head coach, I can't remember his name, but he comes out of the tree. I've heard Zach Taylor, I believe the coach of the Bengals. So with that, he doesn't have the same weapons that the Bengals had to be able to, move the ball. And so, as we know, where there's poor offense, the defense is kind of left to slowly decay over time. So what there is of the Titans defense, I suspect, based off of the Titans offense, will probably slowly decay away into a revolving door, just letting anything and everything through. So not anything too concerning about the Titans defense. As far as the Texans offense goes, I think that, and I think that's going to be the case for the next 3 weeks. I think that is the concern going into this matchup, is will the Texans play down to their opponent? And if they do, if we're getting a toned down Texans offense against a team like this, it could keep the game close and it could put the Texans at risk of being in a position where they could lose because they've let the other team hang around and not put them away like they should be. But I think that these next three games are where we see the Texans offense work out the kinks and sort of try and find themselves, if you will. From the offensive perspective, what do you foresee from this Texans offense potentially getting in the way, or what do you think they're more likely to fix? Whichever way you decide to go with that question.
I really think it's going to be more of the same. I think Bobby Slowick kind of has a methodology that he would like to, run the football a ton, throw the ball when necessary. And that's just kind of what we've seen, even though you see people constantly want CJ to cook. I don't think that that's the identity that the Texans want to have. I think that if need be, CJ will cut it loose. But I think in a perfect world, the idea is that the feature for the offense is Joe Mixon. And then, we play off of that. If I get big plays out of Nico or Tank or John Mechie or something like that, Dalton Schultz, it's a byproduct of what the run game is doing. And it's not necessarily like the most sexy football like you see with some of these other teams that are marching up and down the field. But then again, maybe it is. You look at a team like Detroit, the Texans just recently played them. They are hanging crazy numbers on teams all over the league, to include this Titan team. And I think they really lead with their run game to begin with. They just have a different level that they can go to in their passing game when they want to. And they've got big playability over the top. They've got their guy that is the chain mover in St. Brown. And I think the Texans are struggling to find that over-the-top thing. And I think Nico goes a long way to fixing that. And that's, I think, what will eventually get this Texan team to where they need to go, being able to balance out just pounding the rock, beating teams into submission, and then being able to exploit them over the top when they're ready.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. And I think that this game, if I'm looking for something that for them to do, it's get Nico off of this. I don't want to say they had him on a snap limit, but it felt like they were holding him back a little last week. And I'd love to see him just let loose. I'd like to see, much like last week, but without the penalty, a just big play to start the game off. I think that could be the Texans, signature. Their MO is just like, we're going to hit Nico Collins deep on the first play of the game, and we dare you to stop us. And so I think that's something that I'd like to see from this Texans offense. And like I said, if they can handle Jeffrey Simmons, I think that would be a huge step forward for this offensive line. So you kind of got to it at the end of the day. A lot of that stuff that we want to see, having grown up and gotten in a league where there's Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you want to see everyone just sling the rock all the time. And the Texans have hired an offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, that wants to establish an identity in the run game. And so with that, that needs to be established first in order to open up whatever he wants to do passing the ball, which is interesting to see considering last season the Texans basically lived on the explosive plays that C.J. Stroud put up due to not a knock on Devin Singletary, but Devin Singletary was not what they thought they were going to have in the backfield going into that season. And so, I mean, he did the best he could. But going into this season with Joe Mixon, they'll finally have that running back that can be that guy. And I think that's a big reason why we might see a diminished C.J. Stroud moving forward, or at least until C.J. figures out how to work around that. So we'll see how it goes. Defensively for the Texans, we're facing a team that really likes mayonnaise, used to be a Cowboy, and was a sure bet to not play football for a whole year because he was surely betting. And so Calvin Ridley has come on recently, but since his return from his gambling suspension was not, even in Jacksonville, not really a reliable guy like I think a lot of people thought he was going to be. Do you foresee the Texans maybe struggling with defending Calvin Ridley at all?
It'll really depend on D'Amico Ryans. I think you have a star wide receiver stopper in, you know, Derek Stingley Jr. And if you choose to shadow said wide receiver, you're probably going to get, you're probably going to get the matchup you want. I think.
But do you think Calvin Ridley commands that?
On that team, I do. I name another guy that, you know, you should focus on. Say what you want about Calvin Ridley in Jacksonville, but Calvin Ridley in Atlanta was a game changer. And I don't think that that guy, you know, has lost that much in his game from being away from football for a year for suspension to where he can't, you know, be a 7, 8, 9, 10 target guy for, you know, 100 plus yards and a touchdown. I just think that the situation has to be right. I think part of what has kind of unlocked him recently is the fact that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins got traded to Kansas City and made him from being, you know, wide receiver two to now wide receiver one. And he doesn't have a problem being that guy. I think everything, if you go look at him from a stat point, is just kind of like slowly ratcheted up. So I think on that team, if I've got to pick a person to circle on that offense, it's not Tony Pollard. It's Calvin Ridley Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think especially the departure of DeAndre Hopkins helped out Ridley in terms of getting his target share up, and he's made something of it. I just think, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing that back during the draft that we drafted C.J. Stroud that a lot of people, myself included, were like, maybe we just settle for Will Levis at that 12 and then use the other picks and stack up on other talent. And I mean, hindsight's 2020, but I mean, knowing that Will Levis is playing quarterback in a league that is quarterback driven for the other team gives me a lot of hope that the Texans can take advantage of it, even with Calvin Ridley at wide receiver. And I don't know. The reason I ask you if Calvin Ridley commands that respect is that D'Amico has shown to just line up and play football and not shadow much better receivers than Calvin Ridley throughout his time as the Texans defensive play caller. So I was just curious if he even commands enough attention as a receiver for the Texans to do that, just independent of him being the wide receiver one on that field. And I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I like the idea of Derek Stingley shadowing the other team's wide receiver one and just shutting them down. But is it maybe better served to just spread them out and trust Lassiter to have them sometimes? Sure, maybe. But I mean, I think we've both pretty much established since the matchup with the Browns during the regular season last year, like, why are we not just having Stingley shadow the best wide receiver? He is a invisibility cloak, if you will, when placed in coverage on a lot of wide receivers. So why not do that? So I can see it from that perspective.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
As far as you said, not really concerned about Tony Pollard. I mean, this is a Titans offensive line that's not, I don't even know how to say it. There are very few offensive lines I think could be in the same league as the Texans in terms of how bad they are. But the Titans are definitely in consideration. I mean, they've got a revolving door at the tackles. It's just not the best scene. I don't know why Tony Pollard signed with the team. I think he'd probably have been better off staying in Dallas. But, I mean, money talks. So, but looking at the Texans front seven, I've heard people say, I think Patrick Storm said that it's been talked about that Will Anderson Jr. won't be back until after the bye week. And so with that, I mean, with this group the way it is, you trust that they can hold it down and that Tony Pollard's not going to be an issue just with the front seven that the Texans have?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at what Jalen Petrie's done coming up to the line of scrimmage, he's been an absolute game wrecker. Definitely get in the backfield. You've seen them bring a lot of safeties. If you watch that Cowboy game, it didn't matter if it was Eric Murray. It didn't matter if it was Jalen Petrie. They were bringing guys up to the line, basically going, okay, I don't think you can beat us if I bring guys to stop the run. And Henry Toa seems like he's been everywhere. I even like what Devin White has done in the limited action that he's had. I don't have to really get too deep in the weeds about Azeez Al-Shaair. He's been phenomenal. And then the edge rush has been really good. Danico Autry has been really good. You're getting Mario Edwards. I think you're going to get him back into form. He was really good before his suspension. I know it kind of sucks that Foley may not be back. I don't know what his situation is. But I really feel like this team is really set up right now to be able to manage a team like Tennessee and still get pressure on the quarterback, still stop the run.
Yeah, and with Foley and Will Anderson Jr.'s predicaments, I'm pretty sure it's been rumored around, or at least people have discussed it as a possibility, that the Texans ran through their IR return designations pretty quickly last season. And so I think they might be pulling an Astros with Kyle Tucker thing where maybe they're downplaying the severity of the Will Anderson Jr. injury and of the Foley injury in order to not designate them for IR so as to ensure they don't have to waste an IR designation on them in case there's another player they want to bring back. I know they still have Christian Harris coming back, So they're probably keeping an eye on that because those can work into the playoffs too. So if you don't have one left and there's a player, then you would have a roster spot that you can't free up for the playoffs. There are all kinds of roster building and construction thoughts that go into that. But overall, I mean, I don't know if there's anything too concerning about this Titans offense, but like I said, I mean, it's a division rivalry game, so anything could happen. And speaking of anything that could happen, we need to do our score predictions for this one. And as you know, anything could happen when Tom and I are giving score predictions. Sometimes I can guess what Tom's gonna say. Sometimes I finish Tom's sentences. No, I don't do that. But Tom, I'm interested to see how you are gonna predict this game. So I'm gonna give it to you. What do you got?
Well, I don't know how not to make this a bigger lopsided game than the Cowboys game, considering I think that the Cowboys are a better team than the Titans. So to me, I think the number that, you know, when you asked me, that first popped into my head, it's 34-10. I think that's a great barometer. I feel like the Texans should be able to score on this team. I think that the Titans have done a decent job slowing down some other squads, but you know, this is, I believe, in NRG, so that's home cooking. I think that matters. I really like where the Texans are going to be going into this game.
Yeah, and with that, I was honestly very similar to you. I went 28-10. I think that giving the Titans a touchdown and a field goal is reasonable. I think they're worse than the Cowboys, but I think with the division rivalry aspect, I don't think the Texans necessarily do as good or better scoreboard wise. And so I'm left with that. And with that, there's not necessarily a storybook ending moment. So I guess what I'm going to do is create my scenario. Going into the half, it is 17-10. It's a 2-minute warning. The Texans have the ball, and they will get the ball to start the second half. And it's kind of one of those moments where, okay, we're priming up for another. The second half Texans are in a one-score game and need to be better and have no capability to score in the second half. But then, you know, 2-minute warning is dwindling down. The Texans didn't get very good field position, and it looks like they're kind of doing their thing where they drive into field goal range and then kind of just kick a field goal. Kaimi's got it. He'll do it. And then Mechie breaks deep, and CJ hits him for a long touchdown pass. Go into the second half, and then the first play of the second half, CJ hits Nico Collins for a nice little 70-yard touchdown pass. And that would put the Texans up 24. That doesn't really play well into my prediction score-wise. I'm going to go 27-10 just to make that make sense. So the Texans would then be up 24. It still doesn't work out. Either way, it's more your score prediction. Either way, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The Texans are going to score a lot of points, and the Titans are going to score very few. So that's my prediction on today. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, James Roy just gave y'all his very first inaugural storybook second half beginning. We didn't get an ending. We got a second half beginning. And I don't
everything begins.
I don't even know what to do with it right now. I don't know
if you can tell that I currently have two kids right now, and one of them is less than 2 months old.
Aw, that's cute.
But that is the case. And both of them are under two.
Well, I didn't do that. I can tell you I took my time there. Like, you were in a hurry to get somewhere.
I feel like that was probably the right move. Yeah, your patience, I laud it. So, yeah, so I'm blessed. Two baby boys sat down and watched the Texas game. It was a nice time. Good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Tom, do you have any more thoughts before we kind of bring this thing to a close?
I really hope that this is a stress-free game. I really hope that, you know, the fans get what they've been looking for from this team. You know, one of those games that it's never close. You feel good about the offense. CJ gets, you know, some stats up there. Nico gets some stats up there. Maybe we get a crane from Mech. You know, just one of those games where everybody got fed. You know, the stat sheet looks good. And it was just a thorough win. I think there's been some games that have been close. I think there's been some games that, you know, shouldn't be close. And this is a spot where the Texans could just really kind of establish a dominant standing in the AFC South. The Colts are the only team that has a chance to run us down, and they're running out of games. So with the tiebreaker on top of what they've already got, it's really going to make it really hard for the Colts to win the division. And then, you know, how they go forward, whether it's, you know, resting some guys in some key games later on or whatever the case may be, you know, we can talk about it then. But the fact that the Texans will have done what we thought they would do 12 games in is pretty exciting.
No doubt, no doubt. Excited to see them in NRG playing against the Titans, who, I mean, between the Titans and the Colts really is what it is in terms of who you think the biggest rival of the team is. There will be those who think it's the Jaguars. I think that the Jaguars are a big rival for a different reason, but I'm always excited to play the Titans. Those were always the games, you know, the division rivalry games that brought the most electricity. And speaking of, there's a rumor going around that they're going to change the name of NRG Stadium to Temu Stadium. To follow suit with the Astros, they're finding
that is not what the Astros.
No.
Stop.
I had to find a way to bring up that the Astros changed the name of the stadium. They're going to change it on the stadium walls, but they will not change it in the hearts of the many men and women who love the team.
I can promise you, if Daikin puts ACs all throughout that stadium and it's 65 in there, people will not complain about the name of that stadium because everyone loves the juice box, everyone knows that it was the hot box because if you sat in there was only certain areas where there was air conditioning and there were many areas that were not.
Well, for me, what it would take, right? I'll call it Daikin Stadium this very second that Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker are re-signed. And it is said to me by Jim Crane, oh, and this was brought to you in part by us giving the naming rights to this Japanese air conditioning company. And I'll be like, arigato. Thank you.
I would go a little further and say, what if they brought you a stud young Japanese pitcher and said, this was brought to you by, you know, Daikin.
Who's that pitcher coming out? This
Roki Sasaki.
Roki Sasaki comes over, I'll be like, arigato, thank you.
I mean, he, Daikin Stadium. The rumor is, I know this isn't Texans related, but we're all sports fans here. The rumor is that Roki wants endorsement deals and that the Dodgers may not be a good fit because he would be clouded by Otani and Yamamoto. So bring all your Japanese players to Houston now.
100%. I'm in. I need more reasons to build in my head as to why the Astros are going to win yet another World Series. So I'll take it. Living with a Dodger fan, I've heard enough about the Dodgers winning the World Series this year. So, but I will tell you personally, I prefer the Dodgers to win the World Series over the Yankees. I feel like most people would agree with that train of thought. But anyways, thanks for listening to us for our football talk, and thanks for sticking with us through our baseball talk. We're all sports fans here. And we're all Houston fans here, I would hope. For those of you that are Spurs fans or Mavericks fans or Rangers fans, why don't you go somewhere for these discussions? Stay for the Texans discussions and leave when we talk about the other team.
There you go.
As always, this has been The Bullpen. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in The Bullpen, a Houston Texans podcast, to listen, or if you'd like to watch, find us on YouTube. Same thing, to search up The Bullpen, a Houston Texans podcast. And that is where you will find us. As always, thanks for listening. And stay classy, Houston. Vamos, Texans.
Thanks for tuning into The Bullpen, a Texans podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.